Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Gemara begins. We had a machlokas yesterday in the Mishnah about what to do with a bechor ba'mum, whether or not you could include other people. So the Beis Shammai felt you could only include kohanim. Other people are not invited to partake in the bechor. Beis Hillel felt it's mutter, not only mutter to have a zar, but even mutter to invite a goy. So Gemara says now Daf Lamed Gimel, seven lines down. Rabbi Kiva Matir Afilu Obed Kocham. He permitted even one to invite a goy to partake in the eating of the Balmum, the Bechor Balmum. My time with Rabbi Kiva, what was the reason behind Rabbi Kiva allowing a goy to partake in this? Pasuk says, Ketzrivech Ayel, Matzriv Ayel Mutil Obed Kochavim, Af Psulim Mutil Ovde Kochavim. The fact that the Gemara, the Pasuk, rather connects the Psulim Mukdashim. A Bechor is a Mukdash, it's an animal that's Kadosh that became possible, that has a Balmum, it's Psulim Mukdashim. So the Pasuk connects it to a Tzriva Ayel, which is just the regular animals. And just like a Goy could eat my Tzriva Ayel, so too it could eat my Psulim Mukdashim, he could eat the Bechor Balmum. And that's the basis for Shitas Rabbi Kiva. Idach, what about the Tanakama? What do they do with the Pasuk? So the Gemara says, Tulasa Tzriva Ayel. It says the Pasuk says the words Tzriva Ayel three times in Parashas Re'eh to teach me three different dinim, and none of them are available to teach me the Pasuk of Mutil Ovdei Kochavim. So what are the three halachas we learn from the three appearances of Tzriva Ayel? So the Gemara says, one time it says, Ukasivi Chalik Rabbi Yitzchak. What Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak? He's referring to a certain din, the Gemara talks about in Makos, about a person's marvia, pshur psulim mukdashim, an animal which is, it's kadosh, but it's pasul, so now it's somewhat of a chula now, so there's some level of kalayim involved there. So being marvia, psulim mukdashim, or being manhig, plowing a field, we know you can't plow a field of two different animals, it's a violation of kalayim, so psulim mukdashim, even though it's physically one animal, is viewed as a mu'ur of an animal that's kalayim, of a kadosh, but psul, and that would be violation of klayim. So that's one din of tziva ayil. Like, just like tziva ayil, this klayim, so too psul mukdashim is considered an itzir of klayim. That's one din we learn. And chad to teach me the chadur Rabbi Elazar hakafar. He has a din about the pasuk. We learn a din of shchita that after psul mukdashim, you're allowed to do a shchita. You're allowed to shech the animal. So too, by extension, so to tziva ayil, there's a special din of shchita. Just stam shchita schulin applies there as well. The Rashi refers to the Gemara Maseches Schulin Daf Chavches, where we learn that drasha of shchita of an animal. And the edak, the third one, is to teach me a din, matzriva ayil, peturim, and a bechora. We know the din of bechor, behema, tahora, only comes from a behema, not a chaya. So tziva ayil are chayos, so just like a tziva ayil is patur min a bechora, af psulim mukdashim are peturim min a bechora as well. And that's what we learn from Tziva Ayil, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Kiva apparently doesn't learn all these drashas, so he learned Tziva Ayil to teach me that you're allowed to serve a Bechor Balmum to a Goy. Okay, Gemara now says, on this topic of who's allowed to eat a Bechor Balmum, it quotes the following braisa, Tanu Rabbanan. It says, Bechor Eid Machilos Lenidos Divrei Beishame. Beishame holds you cannot serve Bechor Balmum to a Nida. He is of the opinion again that there's a certain level of Kedusha that still is remaining even after it's a Balmum. Beisil argues, Omri Machilos Lenidos, you're allowed to serve a Bechor Balmum to one who is a Nida. So, my time, what's the reason of Beishame? Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Besarm Yelach, that the Basar should be for you. So, Mahasam Nidos Lo, when it's referring to, what's the Pasuk referring to? It's referring to connecting it to Chazav Ashok, I believe. I'm trying to find the pasuk on the side just for a moment here. The pasuk says, "Ach b'chor shor o b'chor kesev o b'chor ezel lo sifte kodesh shemes damam tizrok al mizbeach v'schelbam." That's what I want. Yeah, v'schelbam tikter aishal erech niachroch laShem. And then the next pasuk says, "Besarim yelach kachazek tenufa chashok hayamin lichayiyeh." So Chazav Ashok is not roy for one who's in nida. So connects it to a b'chor. So to a b'chor b'amum is not roy to be for a nida as well. That's the basis, the hekesh in the pasuk according to Beis Shammai, why nida cannot eat a b'chor b'amum. Beisil omrim hani mile tam. No, the pasuk is talking about a b'chor that's a tam. That's where nida cannot eat it, connecting to shok v'chazav Ashok. About ba'mum ha'tamei v'atar yachla, that you're allowed to eat, the pasuk says yachdav, that you're allowed to eat a tamei v'atar, eat together, so you are allowed to eat, nida is allowed to eat a b'chor ba'mum. So Beis Shammai says, no, hani mile heicha de'ein tuma yotze lav migufa. There's only true Beis Shammai says, when can a tamei v'atar eat together? When can they eat psulim mukdashim? only when the tumah doesn't, it's not yotze megufa. The two types of tumas, two basic categories of tumah. There's one tumah that comes meyotze megufa, it comes from the person's body themselves, a nida, a zav, a zava. And there's a tumah that comes outside, which is usually called tumas maga. It's referring to, let's say, tumas mace. That thing come internally, it came from something external that touched me. A tumas sheretz, tumas neveil, those come from the outside. That's called tumas maga. And yotze megufa is usually called tumas re'ia, where you saw something coming and emitting from the body. So aval hecha, the tumah yotze Allah megufa, when it came from the body, lo. So then if it's, again, if it's not yotze me'alav, it's not as serious, it came from externally, tumas meis and zav, meis and nevela and sheretz, so that's where tameh v'tahor eat together. But hecha, the tumah yotze Allah megufa, when it comes from the person themselves, it's what's called a tumas re'ia, it's more severe, lo, that we don't find such a din. Now there happens to be a very interesting gemara in Nida. It seems to be having the hakir whether or not tumas keri is yotze Allah megufa or it's tumas maga. It has such a shaila. Is it tumas maga? It's not. It certainly comes yotze megufa, but how do we categorize it as tumas maga or is it considered tumas re'ia? So Tosas here looks at the side. Tosas, there's a very short line here. Tosas writes ein machilin also lenidos hu adin lebal keri delo shari rak letumas shehutru bepesach. So he compares tumas keri to that tumas nida, which means it's considered a yotze alav megufa. It's called a tumas re'ia, but there are other rishonim who seem to argue elsewhere. Fine. So Gemara now says the Ashkechan we find the Poligrachmana bein tuma yotze lav migufo the bein chain tuma yotze lav migufo. We have a precedence for him making such a chiluk to being mechayik between that which yotze migufo and that which is not yotze migufo. Where we have such an example, the Tanan, the Mishnah quotes from a Mishnah here in Maseches Pesachim, HaPesach Shabab Betuma Lo Yochlu Menu Zavim Mutzarim Mezavos Venidos VeYoldos. So a person when Pesach comes Betuma, we know that the entire Tibor is tamei, a rov Tibor is tamei. You're allowed to go ahead and perform and eat the Pesach, but that's only a person who's Tumas Meis, where they became Tamei from something external that wasn't Yotze Megufo. But one who is Yotze Megufo, such as Azov, Mitzora, there's a discussion about a Girsa, let's assume a Mitzora came from Yotze Megufo, and Azov, and Nidos, and Yoldos, all those are Yotze Megufo, that's a more severe type of Tumah, that they're not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach. That's it. Then we saw another example as well, Tumas Chutzar, it's also right in Maseches Bechoros. We saw this a couple of weeks ago, that there's such a chilek between Tumas Yotze Megufo versus not, by Chalas Chutzar. Do you remember this, anyone? There's a Radbaz about this also. Yeah, but I still learned it. Fine, so the Gemara then says, Beis Hillel Omer, Beis Hillel says, Hasim hu degali rachmana tamei nefesh. Beis Hillel says, no, that's a special gzeirsa caused by Pesach. You can't bring that as a raya, because the pasuk says, tamei nefesh, tumas meis, only they're allowed to eat the karim Pesach. But aval hacha here, it says, tamei tar v'tamei, they eat together, hatamei v'tar yachtav, stamak siv lo shna. Doesn't make a difference, there's no chilek, so you can't create your own chilek if the pasuk doesn't create the chilek. And therefore, it says Beis Hillel, just like one who's eino yotze tumami, that tumos eino yotze megufo may eat the psumuk dashim, so to one who's metame, it's yotze megufo also can eat the bechor balmum. Okay, the Gemara now says Tanur Rabbanan ein margilin beyamtif. You don't do margilin. What exactly is margilin? To look at Rashi halfway down the Amud, ein margilin bebechor. Rashi explains we're talking about beyamtif, but we're going to see it's both bechor and beyamtif, but. A margin b'chor means afilu balmum, even if the animal's a balmum, lafshito derech haragom, to skin the animal from its legs, kola or sham, to keep it intact, all the skin together, to minimize any holes, lasos b'menu mafoch l'nefachim, which is some type of a blower of some sort, what do they call it? A bellow, fine, for making the fire bigger. Olamoche dvash v'shemen shenosin also be'oros kvasim hamafshitin shlemim, to hold as a little big jug to hold oil or oil in. So honey or oil in. So that's a special way of slicing and skinning the animal. That we don't do, Rashi says the Gemara. Ein margin b'yamtif. And we don't do such a skinning when it comes to the yantif, when it comes to bechor, and when it comes to psule mukdashim. So Gemara explains, Vishma, I understand why you don't do this in yantif. You're doing a tircha. Meaning you're allowed to shech the animal yantif, you're allowed to eat the animal, you're allowed to skin the animal, all that's permitted. But to do it in such a fancy way, which is added tircha, we don't do things with tircha. So just skin the animal, but to have to do it so exact to make sure there are no holes in it, that's not allowed in yantif. So that makes sense why ain margilim b'yamtif. And when it comes to Bechor, Mantana, who holds that a Bechor, you can't do Margilin? What's wrong with skinning an animal in such a way? So Gemara explains, Amar Rav Chista, this is none other than Beis Shammai. Damar Ein Machil Nasal Nidos. He holds that we have to preserve the Kedusha even after the Bechor got a Baal Mum. You can't feed it to a Nida, so to have to preserve the Kedusha, not to do such a skinning. What's wrong with skinning? Why is that a problem? What's the Bizayim? So Rashi explains, Beis Shammai, the Savri Bechor Baal Mum of Kedushaso, a Kai remained in the Kedusha, Afil Acha Shchita Ketam. Even after you shechted the Bechor Baal Mum, it still retains its Kedusha as if it were to be a Tam. V'chihecha the Tam, ain margilin. Just like a Tam, you can't do this type of skinning. Why? V'shem b'zayon de kodshim de pogim abasar. You ruin the basar. Because when you're trying to maintain the skinning, you're dipping into the basar as well. You don't mind cutting off the basar. This way at least you preserve the skin, not to make any holes. So you're chipping away at the flesh of the animal. De misyare lachtocha or. You're scared to touch the skin, to rip the skin, and therefore you dip chotech habasar, and that's called a bezayon. So bebalmum nami ein margilin. So that's Beis Shammai shita. Again, even when a bechor becomes a balmum, we still have to preserve the kedusha to avoid any bezayon. And what about the Gemara says lo bepsul mukdashim mantana? Who holds by pesul mukdashim by other karbanos, not a bechor, a regular chatas or shlamim or ola that became kado, that became pasul? How do you know you can ein margilin by them as well? So Gemara explains, Amar Rav Chista explained, that's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon here. Gemara is going to ask, how come Beis Shammai doesn't agree to Psul Mikdashim? How come Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree by Bechor? We'll see that in just a moment. But where's Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's Shita? So he holds, the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah teaches us Meseches Temura as follows. Let's say a person had Shnei Chatals. He had two Karbanos, to Shnei Chatals, and they had set them aside in case he wanted to have an insurance policy in case Chatas A got lost, he got Chatas B as a backup. So to start, he had two Chatals set aside. And Achas Tamim, Achas Baalas Mum. One was Tamim, and the other one became a Baal Mum. So now, of course, he could only bring the Tamima as a carbon. So Tamima Tikariv, you bring the carbon Tamima as a carbon, that's a good Chatas, and Baalas Mum Tifate, and then you could redeem the Baal Mum and use the money to give to the to Mizbeach in the base of Mikdash. Let's say Nishchata Baalas Mum. Let's say instead of redeeming the Baalas Mum, you end up shechting the Baalas Mum. Imad shelo nizrak dama shel tmima mutaris. If you hadn't yet sprinkled the blood of the tmima, so you still have the tmima either is alive or the blood is niskaba, but you didn't sprinkle the blood, you still have the blood there remaining in the tmima mutaris. So you can eat the shchita to the baalas mum. That's allowed. However, im mishen nizrak dama shel tmima. If you already had sprinkled the blood of the tmima and then you try shechting the baalas mum, that's going to be asur. Then you can't eat the baalas mum. So what's the difference whether you sprinkle the blood of the tmima or not sprinkle the blood of the tmima? How could that impact the heter or iser of the baalas mum? So Rashi explains here. Look at Rashi, the last narrow line down. Rashi says muteris. If in the case where you didn't sprinkle the blood of the tmima, muteris bachil, you may eat the baalas mum if you shechted it. Even though you ended up, you shechted the animal, you ended up sprinkling the blood afterwards. Baser baalas mum, svirlan d'ma'acha shebaser lechal heter zvicha. Once you shechted the animal, the baalas mum, with a heter, because you haven't yet sprinkled the blood of the tamima, then shiv ein bo kedusha baalas mum. There's no longer kedusha baalas mum, and you don't have to be concerned. So if you shechted it when you're allowed to shecht it, that baalas mum is permitted. But if you, let's say, sprinkle the blood first of the tamima, and then you tried shechting the baalas mum, then the baalas mum is asura, says Rashi, afil bahana to have you lachatas shekipper baaleh ulamisa azah. We have a din. The person has two chatas he set aside. If he already was niskaper on chatas A, chatas B becomes asur entirely, no matter what you do with it. It's a special din. We have halacha, the Moshe Mishinar. So that's all shitas tanakama. That again, if you shechted it properly, that baalas mum loses kedusha entirely. But comes along in the back to the Gemara now, this Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu baser b'kedera, v'nizrak dama shel tmima asura. Let's say I have the baser of the baalas mum. I shechted the baalas mum, I started cooking the baalas mum, but I didn't eat it yet. And then afterwards, I go ahead and sprinkle the blood of Tamima. That then does aser the baalas mum as well. Because even after you shechted it, it retained the kedusha of the psul mikdashim even after the fact. Just look at Rashi to make this hopefully clear. Rashi explains, afilu baser b'kedera, Asura, Basar Balas Mum is Asur. The Sphere Lay, Afila Acha Shchita, even though you shechted the Balas Mum when you were allowed to, because of Tamima, you haven't sprinkled the blood yet for the Tamima, so you shechted the Balas Mum properly. But you didn't eat the Balas Mum yet. It's all prepared and ready to be eaten. Bikdusha Sayu Kaima, it still retains its Kedusha, and Chatas, and then you go ahead, before eating it, you shech the Chatas, that's Tamima, that ends up Asuring then the Balas Mum. So what comes out from this, a little bit of a tricky Mishnah here, is that the Besulim Mikdashim retained its Kedusha even after the fact. And that's why Ein Margilin B'Besulim Mikdashim. So Gemara now says, after establishing who was behind each of the Shitas, Gemara now wants to know, last three lines of the Amud here, Rav Chista Lokma Kula Kmei Shamet. Why doesn't Rav Chista say the entire Mishnah is Beis Shammai, the entire Braisa? Just like Beis Shammai says, Ein Margilin B'Bechor Balmum, shouldn't he also say the same din by a P'sul Mikdashim, by a Chatas Balmum? That you can't ain margilim. So Gemara says no. Dilmad kan lo kamir Beis Shammai ela bebechor bekdusha sabirechem. Only maybe you have Beis Shammai thinks an animal that's a bechor, where the kedusha was the moment it was born. That's where the kedusha remains even after bebalmum. About p'sul mikdashim, think kedusha sabirechem. Lo, that where it wasn't created, that I, a person, created the kedusha. It's a much weaker type of kedusha. Maybe there Beis Shammai would say, if it becomes a P'sul Mikdashim, it maybe loses Kedusha entirely, and you would be allowed to skin the animal in such a way. So we can't necessarily learn from Bechor to P'sul Mikdashim. So now the Gemara says, what about the opposite direction, the top of Amud Beis now? V'lokmei kula k'rev Lazar b'Rebbe Shimon, that maybe just like he says P'sul Mikdashim ein margilin, he should certainly say ein margilin by Bechor as well. And perhaps say Rebbe Lazar is the shita behind this entire brisa of ein margilin b'yomtif, ein margilin b'Bechor, ein margilin b'P'sul Mikdashim. So Gemara says, Dilma, Ad kan lo kama Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Hasam el P'sul Mikdashim, Dalima lemitves pidyonam. That the P'sul Mikdashim is a strong Kedusha, that it has the ability to be redeemed. Ava Bechor, Dilo Alam lemitves pidyonam. We know you can never redeem a Bechor, so since it's not strong enough to attach itself to a pidyon, maybe there the Kedusha is weaker, and there Rebbe Lazar would say, you can be Margilin the Bechor as well, because therefore, lo, he wouldn't say by Bechor. That's why you have to have each Shita separately. So Gemara now says, but wait a second. So Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Lesle, Kol, P'sulim Mikdashim, Nimcharim B'Illas, V'Nishkam B'Litra. So we know, so right now we're assuming that Rebbe Lazar holds that the Kedusha of P'sulim Mikdashim remains even after it becomes a Balmum, even after everything. But don't we have in the first mission we learned a few couple days ago that you're allowed to take psulim mukdashim, you could sell them in the itlas and you could weigh them against other meat in order to get more profit for hekdesh. Alma, we see the chayvin deikar ravcha lehekdesh sharilei. Since there is a additional profit that they're going to gain, you're allowed to. So is he going to reject that? How can he reject this Mefurish Mishnah? Now, perhaps he can. He's a Tana. But Gemara doesn't like the fact that he's going to argue with this particular Mishnah. So how could he say that there is Kedusha afterwards and you can't be Mevazah by Margilin the P'sul Mikdashim? But our Mishnah early on says you are allowed to be Mevazah in order to generate more revenue for the Hekdesh. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Meri B'Reder Rav Kana Mash Mishbiach B'Or Pagam B'Basa. He agrees. Really, P'sul Mikdashim has Kedusha. There's a special heter to mevaze P'sul Mikdashim to generate more revenue. But the case of Margilin is not going to generate more revenue. Granted, by Margilin, you're going to have very nice ore, very nice leather, and in terms of the skin, the hide, that will be a higher value by Margilin, but at the same time, you're ruining the basar, you're ruining the flesh, because you're cutting into the flesh to make sure you don't tear the ore, so what you gain by the ore, you lose by the basar, and therefore it's neutralized. There is no grounds to permit you to sell this. It's not actually a gain, it's actually equalizing. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Meri, Brei, Rav Kana. Answer that very fine. Then the Gemara says, B'ma Rav, Mishmei, the Ravina, Amri. In the West, they quoted in the name of Ravina. B'pnei, Shanira, Ka'ovid, Avoda, B'kalchim. He had another concern. Perhaps he does agree you're allowed to sell the P'sul Mikdashim in Itlas. You could weigh it up against a litra. But it looks like it's not a nice thing that we're doing an avoda with a kalchim. It's not a nice thing. And for that reason, it sounds like it's too much of a bizayon to allow for... to allow to maintain the ore. Because what's going to happen is, the guy, when you go ahead and sell the ore to the purpose of this the bellows, so then it's going to be, it's going to look like a guy's using kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't want that concern, therefore they prohibit this. So then the Gemara says, last couple lines before the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi bar Avin Amar Gzeira Shem Yigadil Mehem Adar Madarm. There's a concern the Gemara has in many places. We have such a chashash that what's going to happen, Rashi says, Shem Yigadil Adar Madarm Kolomer Divriya Kol Asur Lahargil. Everybody agrees you can't do this type of skinning. The Sharish life, you permit a person to skin the Psumik Dashim in such a way, Asur L'shuyim L'shchot Achi Matzeh Bnei Adam Hamavakshin Oros Shleimim. You're going to leave this Psumik Dashim hanging around your field until you find a willing buyer of the skin. And once you find the willing buyer, so then you'll skin it the right way. But until that point, you'll leave it around. U'benkach, benkach, yigadol adar psumukdashim. They're going to get bigger. They're going to have their own children. And you're going to have a field of psumukdashim. V'yasi behuli de takala l'giza v'avoda. That's going to lead to a very likely circumstance of one doing giza v'avoda. Whenever we have psumukdashim, whenever there's a potential takala, we try to get rid of it as soon as possible. So we say, no skinning it, just kill it, and you'll deal with the skin somehow in some other way. Okay, new mission begins now. I'm going to base here. Bechor she'ach sadam, afil meis ein makizin ladam divrei Rabbi Yehuda. A bechor that has a certain blood clot of some sort, you can't be makizdam. Even if it's going to die, we can't do this because there's a concern that Rashi says if you permit this, it might come to make another mum to the animal. There's an isser being meta mum. You can't be meta mum on a bechor or any other animal. So what happens is, even though the blood clot is an area that won't generate a mum, if I allow to do it in place A, I might end up doing it in another part of the body, which will create a mum, and that's a violation in isser, the Raisa. So Rabbi Yehuda says, don't get involved at all in the business of being makis dam when it comes to a bechor, even if the bechor is a mesukan. Come along the Chachamim Omrim in the Mishnah. Yakis, you can be Makizdam, Makizdam, you can draw the blood. Uvilvad, so long as Shul Yasib Bamum, don't make a mum. Only do it in the areas that won't create a mum. Vimasib Bamum, and if you do create a mum by doing so, Harejah Lo Yishchar Olav, you can't shecht it. You're not allowed to shecht a Bechor, a Bamum, if you created the Bamum. If the Bamum came naturally or some other way that wasn't involved in what you were doing, so then you could shecht it. But if you created the Mum, then you're not allowed to shecht it. So when you do the Makizdam, make sure to do it without creating a Mum. And comes along now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yakiz, you're allowed to do it, Afa Pishahu Osabamum. Even if you are going to create a mum, Rabbi Shimon has a heter across the board. Why? Rashi explained, because Rabbi Shimon Shita all over Shas is a Davar Shein Meskavein is Mota. You don't have Kavanah to create a mum. That happens to happen, and maybe it's not going to be a psikresha. It's a possibility, but not inevitable, and therefore it's Davar Shein Meskavein. And therefore, mutter according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So these are three Shitas. Rabbi Yehuda says nothing at all. Rabbi Shimon says across the board you're allowed to. And Chachamim say make sure, depending where it is, if it's going to create a mum, no. If it won't create a mum, then you are allowed to.
Wouldn't that be mum kavua?
Yeah, we're talking mum kavua, nechanami, yeah. No, only a place if it's, let's say, in the ear, and it's going to cut the ear off to bloodlet. I don't know how bloodletting works. So there's whatever the case is, to find the situation, it will create a mum. So we'll get very familiar with the mum quite soon. Maybe when we're in Hungary together, actually. Taka, we should learn in Hungary. We should do a daf yomi there. Okay, we'll talk about it. Problem is, we really have to bring them with siftas. I was hoping not to have to bring them with siftas, but if we're doing Bali Mum, there's no other way to understand them without the pictures. But okay, we'll see. Gemara then says, Tanur Rabbanan, Bechor she'ach sadam, makizin lo es hadam, b'makum shein osim b'mum. If Bechor has some type of blood clot, you could bloodlet it in an area where it doesn't create a mum, but ain makizin lo es hadam, b'makum shein osim b'mum, divrei Rabbi Meir. So that's the Shita and the Mishnah, that's Rabbi Yehuda, but that's also Rabbi Meir again, that... No, I'm sorry, this is not Rabbi Meir. That this is Shita's Chachamim now, right? You can make a mum, you can makizdam where it doesn't create a mum, but you cannot be makizdam where it will make a mum. That's the Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim af makum shows it b'mum, you're allowed to make it, you could makizdam even in an area where it can make a mum, uvilvad shelo yishchot al osamum, but just don't shecht on that mum. And Rabbi Shimon omer af nishchot al osamum, you could even shecht on that particular mum. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afil Meis, Ein Makis and Lo, Sadam, you can't. So now there are four Shitas according to this Braisa. Our Mishnah 3, we now have a total of four Shitas. So Masi Le Rabbi Lazar Lebre. One time Rebbe Elazar was teaching his son this Braisa, this Mishnah. V'amar la Rebbe Chila Brei. Others say Rebbe Chila is teaching his son. K'machlokes kan, kach machlokes b'chavis shel tshuma. So we have this machlokes here by Balmum, Achsadam, whether you could check, whether you could makizdam or not makizdam. We have the same parallel machlokes when it comes to a chavis shel tshuma. What's the case of a chavis shel tshuma? So this is a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Tshumos, Perkes. It says the Tanan. Chavis shel tshuma, if you have a barrel of tshuma, and nishanola basafik, there's a leidas asafik of tuma. You're not sure if someone touched it or not. So what do you do? How do you treat this? Do you assume it's tower? Do you assume it's tame? So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Elazar Omer, im haisa b'makom haturfa, yanich b'makom hatzmutzna. If it's an area that's very exposed and vulnerable to become tame even further, so then makom hatzmutzna, we have to still treat it as if perhaps it's tshuma and protect it in such a way. If it's yanichani b'makom haturfa, skip the line there, im haisa megula, yichasenu, if it's uncovered, make sure they're covered. We treat with the Kedusha of Tshuma still and preserve it as best as possible. That Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, im ha'yisa munachas b'makom ha'mutzna. No, if it's, let's say, in a hidden place, yanichane b'makom ha'turfa, expose it. We don't care to treat it like anything. Once it's a safek tumah, there's a lay that's a safek, you can expose it as much as you want. Im ha'yisa mechus, if it's covered, yigalenu, you could uncover it. That Shita's Rabbi Yeshua. Comes along now, Shita's Rabbi Gamliel Omer, lo yichadesh bo davar, don't do a thing. Just leave it as is. Leave the status quo. If it's exposed, it's exposed. If it's covered, just leave it as is. Don't touch. Then the Gemara explains, Rabbi Meir. So now we have the three shitas in the Mishnah by Chavis Shel Tshuma. So Rabbi Meir, we have to try to remember all the shitas now between them. It's a little confusing now. So Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Meir is the one who held that you can be makis dam if it's not going to create a mum. But if it will create a mum, you can't. So he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that you should still preserve it. That if it's exposed, you should cover it up. That lines up that you should try to protect it as much as possible. And Rabbanan hold like Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbanan, the ones who hold that you can make a mum. You don't care about it at that point. Just save the life and do whatever you want. So the Rabbi Yeshua doesn't care what happens. You could be metamed if you want. That's not a big deal. And Rabbi Yehuda, who is the one by the Bechor, says that even if it dies, don't touch it. Just leave it alone. And that's like Rabbi Gamliel that says, Lo yichadesh bodavar. So that's how we line the three shitas up with the three shitas by Chavis Shel Tshuma. So Gemara says, is this parallel really, really good? Mimai. Dil ma'ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Meir hasam de kavod biyadayim. Maybe there Rabbi Meir says that by the mum, if you're going to make a mum, don't touch it, because if you do, you're creating biyadayim, you're actually the one creating the mum. Aval hacha, by the case of the tshuma, the grama. It's the grama. By uncovering it, you haven't caused it. You just made it vulnerable, but you haven't done anything by a dime. So maybe he would agree to Rabbi Yeshua that you'd be able to uncover it and to expose it. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua is fearless. V'yad kan lo kamar Rabbi Elazar hasam. Maybe Rabbi Elazar only says by case of tshuma to cover it up. And the shema yavo liyal v'tarenu, because if you expose it, right now it's a suffix. So there's still some hope. If Eliyahu comes tomorrow, he's going to tell us whether it's tamei or tahor. So let's protect it and leave it atcha munach atcha v'liyo. Aval hacha here, di shavak, if you don't do a thing, you just stand alone doing nothing by the bechor, it's going to die, and maybe they would hold like Rabbanan Sfirle that you should do something, you should act, because otherwise it will die. The tshuma you can leave for as long as you want, for very long, not for as long as you want, but you can leave for a while, as long as it preserves. But here the animal's in danger, so maybe here he says you should act. Yad kan lo kamar Rabbanan, maybe there Rabbanan say hacha di shavik le mace, only by the bechor do they say you should act and do something so the animal doesn't die. Well, hasam over there by the case of chavis shel tshuma shema yavol yo, maybe you should be a little patient and perhaps Eliyahu will come v'terenu, and therefore you should say Rabbi Elazar, cover it up, preserve it, because maybe Eliyahu is going to come in the next few days. Sfir le. V'yad kan lo kamar Rabbi Huda, there Rabbi Huda says his din that the person should not be made to mum. You shouldn't be makis dam lest you come to be made to mum, because if you do, the ka'avid biyadam, you're doing something, you're proactively violating the iser. Aval hasan, by the case of chavis shel tshuma, the grama, it's simply just a grama of some sort. Rabbi Yeshua is like, you could expose as much as you want because you're not doing anything, you're making it vulnerable. It's grama if anything happens, but you haven't done anything biyadam. V'yad kan lo kamar Rabban Gamliel hasam. Maybe Rabban Gamliel says by the case of the chuma. That person shouldn't touch any loy chadish b'davar. Just leave it as is. The kavod be skip the line there. The shema yava al yav v'taranu. Perhaps Eliyahu is going to come and mitar. So just stay away. Just stand back. Don't do anything. Aval hacha here by the bechor. The shavik lay. If you leave it alone, loy chadish b'davar by the bechor, that's going to be dangerous. Sorry by the chaim. Perhaps a mice is going to die, and therefore you should cure abundance relay and do something to protect the animal. So it sounds like these two machloksim are completely separate. There's no way to line them up. And not only that, the Gemara says, V'od, hacha b'kray pligi, v'hacha b'kray pligi. When it comes down to it, each case, the case of Chuma and the case of Bechor, each independent discussions really based on the Pesukim. So what are the Pesukim? So we're going to learn one Pasuk today, and tomorrow we'll learn the other Pasuk. The Pasuk for today is as follows. The Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modem, everybody agrees, Mechametz, Achamim, Mechametz, Shuchai. Everyone agrees, if you create Chametz after Chametz, for the karbanos and the menachos and the base of Mikdash Shechayiv. We know that you can't, all the menachos are not made from bread, they were all some type of matzah. So the Pasuk says, person, you can't bake the chametz and you can't make the chametz. So if one guy kneaded the chametz and the other guy baked the chametz, those are considered two separate yisurim. There's mechametz achar mechametz. You could, even though one person created chametz, you could still have an additional level of chametz as well. Completely off topic for a moment. And b'mesaris acha mesaris shuchai, a person is mesaris, an animal, whereby the animal can't have children anymore. And one person does a, Rashi explains some of the details in just a moment, but if one person makes the animal incapable of having children, another one, a person adds to that series as well, that's also chayiv, d'chsev u'mach v'chasis v'nasuk. V'charis, these are four different types of ways of being notek the gid or the beitzim, different levels of being misaris an animal. Imal kares chayiv al nosik lo koshgein. So if a person is able to just detach the beitzim, but they're still remaining in the kiss, and the notik is to be completely remove the beitzim from the kiss, that's going to be usher as well. So ela lahavi nosik achar kares shuchayiv. So it's based on drashas that even though the animal is no longer able to have any children, still misaris achar misaris is chayiv as well. So these are two dealing by mechametz achar mechametz and mesaris achar mesaris. But what about this case? Lo nechlu, what's the machlokis? And the machlokis in our case by mum is a lo nechlu ku ela b'meitil mum b'bamum. The question is, if a person adds a mum to an animal that already has a bamum, so you have an animal that has a bamum, and I come along and make a second mum, I haven't changed any status. The animal was a bamum then, it's a bamum now. Is there an iser to add a mum to another mum? By mesaris achar mesaris, by mechametz achar mechametz, there we have a gzeiros hakasev. We don't have such a gzeiros hakasev by a bamum, so let's see. Now there's an interesting discussion. What are other areas of the Torah do we say bishlach or bishel? Let's say other areas do we say that you could violate an iser after the iser already has been violated. So Shabbos is a great case of bishlach or bishel. You cook a chicken once. Is there a violation of cooking a chicken a second time? No. Well, ain't bishlach or bishel. Once you cooked it once, you can't cook it a second time. So they talk about what a bas b'chalav. Is there an iser? Let's say a person cooked bas b'chalav once. Another guy cooks it a second time. Is there a violation of bishlach or bishel? So there's machlokas in the poskim. Some say yeah. Is a bishlach or bishel problem of basa b'chalav? I would say no. Once you cooked it once, you can't cook it another time. And you bring the rye from this Gemara, because the Gemara says only based on the pasuk of Mesaris Acha Mesaris and Mechametz Acha Mechametz can we say you could violate the Isser a second time. But if you have no such drasha, then you can't create an Isser after an Isser. And since there's no pasuk telling me that Bishul Acha Bishul applies by basa b'chalav, so then the default is that there is no Bishul after it's already been cooked once. So what's halacha when it comes to a mum? Can you add another mum to an already existing baal mum? So Gemara explains again, lo nechlo ku ela b'meita mum b'baal mum. The Rabbi Meir Sever, he holds kol mum lo yebo. There shouldn't be any type of mum, meaning even if he has a mum, adding an additional mum, kol mumbo, would be a violation of being meita mum. Rabbanan Savri, they hold Tamim Yel Ratzon, has to be Tamim. Only when it's Tamim is there a violation of a Mum. But if it's already a Baal Mum, then they hold there is no violation of being made to Mum. So the Nekudas Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chacham is, if the animal is already a Baal Mum, is there an Isser to add a Kol Mum? Any Mum is still an Isser? And Rabbanan say, no, once it's already a Mum, there's no violation of adding additional Mum. Rabbi Meir is high tamim yeh l'ratzon my avilei. So what does he hold? If he really holds every time you add a mum, it's a violation, so what does the pasuk tell me? Only when it's tamim yeh l'ratzon is there an iser. Even if it's not tamim, it's still aser according to Rabbi Meir. So what does he learn from the drasha tamim yeh l'ratzon my avilei? Mi bari leitz needed to teach me l'me'ute ba'mum me'karo. He holds that the animal was born a Baal Mum, then he agrees there's no Isser of Meitel Mum. Gemara says, Pshita. Baal Mum, again, Baal Mum Mekar Pshita, Dikla Baal Mum. If an animal is born as a Baal Mum, that's Dikla Baal Mum. It's nothing more than a branch of a tree. That's nothing at all. So certainly there's no Isser. That's too obvious to need a pasuk to tell me that, Drasha. Ella, the Gemara says, L'me'ute P'sul Mekdoshim L'acher Pidyonim. You have an animal that's a carbon, and then it gets a Baal Mum, so then the person's pulled it, so that animal now, after being Nifteh, that's what's telling me. That case, Rabbi Meir says, will not be Asr. That he'll agree, if there's no Isr, because Saka Dad Dechamina, I would have thought, Hol V'Asir Begiz V'Avodah, so there's, we know the Mishnah told us earlier in the Masechta, that Psul Mekdashim, even after you redeemed a Psul Mekdashim, there still is an Isr Giz V'Avodah. So perhaps you might say, B'mumim Nami L'Tasru, there should also be an Isr of creating Mumim, K'mash B'lam, we learn from the Pasuk, Tamim Yeli Ratzon, that no, that if it's an animal, it's Psul Mekdashim, L'Acher Pidyonim, there Rabbi Meir agrees, that there will not be an Isr Meitel Mum. But if the animal still has its Kedusha, even though it's a Psul Mekdashim, there will still be an Isr of being Meitel Mum, according to Rabbi Meir. Now Rabban respond back. Rabban Nami Haksiv Komum Lo Yebo. They hold that only Tamim Yeli Ratzon, only an animal that's Tamim, there's an Isser creating a Mum. But if it's an animal that's a Baal Mum already, there's no such Isser. So what do they learn from the Pasuk? Kol Mum, every Mum should be Asr. So they say, Legramahu, the Asi. It's coming to tell me, if you Meitel Mum on an animal, so certainly if you directly cut off the ear. But let's say you indirectly do grama, there too is a violation of being made to mum. How do we know? The Gemara tells the Braisa, the Tanya, mum lo yebo. There shouldn't be any mum at all. Ainli, I only know that a person shouldn't be shelo yitein bo mum. That you shouldn't be the one creating a mum. How do I know? Minayin shelo yavi devela ubatek v'nechanim ha'ozen. How do I know you shouldn't place some type of fig cake or some type of bread on the ear of the animal, and that's going to draw attention from some other animal to eat it off the ear of this cow, let's say, now to attract, to entice the animal, the dog, to come eat it, and while eating the buttock, when eating the veil, he's going to eat off the ear, and that's creating a mum. I didn't do it. I was a grandma. How do I know that's Isser as well? Tamalomar, kol mum, any mum, echad mum, echad kol mum. Whether it's a mum that you created, or kol mum, which is even a grandma, would be a violation of the Isser deraisa of being made to a mum. Okay, we'll stop here, and tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue.